Hi, welcome back. It's Jeff Sachs here from Web Yeshiva and Mishkan Sipora, coming to you live from the Rei Beit Midrash of Mishkan Sipora with Masechet Kiddushin. We begin. We turn to Aaron Lanin with a question.
Okay. Last time we learned that the bride that both the groom and the bride can use the shaliach from actually from the divorce.
So this is what we're going to get to. This is, okay. Yeah, did you, is there a specific question?
Yes.
Yeah.
It says that it uses the word shalach and you shalcha.
Yeah.
I don't see the shalach.
No, so it's, in other words, shil, in other words, I'll come to this right now.
Okay.
So the Gemara had asked, we're on daf mem aleph omad aleph 41a. The Gemara asked, the Mishnah had established the idea that both the man and the woman can make a shaliach, can create an emissary to either execute or accept the kesef kiddushin to create marriage. So the Gemara asks, shlichut menalan, where do we know that there is such a thing? What is the Torah source for the idea of shlucho shel adam kimoto, that a person's emissary is equivalent to him for executing a whole variety of things? So before we go on, let's imagine for a second that nobody prepared in advance for the shiur tonight.
You mean all of us?
Well, Robert. Robert's new to the shiur. He didn't know. He didn't know what we were up to. He didn't know what daf we were on, so he couldn't possibly have prepared.
Imagine.
What would you imagine the source for the idea of shlichut is in the Torah? Where do we know that this idea exists, that you can designate someone and that person is as good as you for fulfilling certain acts or obligations? Oh, so Avram and Eliezer, we have an idea that, but is Eliezer really a shaliach for Avraham? Meaning he's a shaliach, there's a shaliach with a capital shin, there's a shaliach with a lowercase shin. The mailman is also, in other words, there's a shaliach who's merely a messenger, right? He's not fulfilling a halachic duty. He's delivering a message, or a malach, a messenger. And there's a shaliach with a capital shin, where that person, in other words, if I mail a letter, the mailman is my shaliach lowercase shin. He's a messenger. He's not me. I haven't invested him with any of my authority. And then there's a shaliach with a capital shin, where the person is my agent. And that agent is all has power of attorney, as it were, to do certain things on my behalf. And when he does them, it is as if I did it myself. Yes.
In the Beit HaMikdash, yeah.
Saul, I'm glad to see that during these 3 years, when you weren't in the shir, your mind has not gone soft. Because, as I recall from our previous experiences together, you always have this uncanny way of intuiting exactly where the Gemara is going to go. So if we can succeed in covering a little more ground tonight than we did last week, we're going to get to that. That the Beit HaMikdash itself, the Kohanim are our shlichim, even though you may be aware that the Gemara itself elsewhere asks the idea, are the Kohanim our shlichim, or are they God's shlichim? Right?
Could be both.
Vladimir, you're cheating, because we know you prepared ahead, and that's what the Gemara is going to say.
I did not.
Okay. So the idea exists. Now, when the Gemara asks, shlichut menalan, what is the Torah source for shlichut? Obviously. In other words, it's intuitive. We know that there is such a thing as shlichut, power of attorney, agency. But the Gemara wants to know, well, what is the home base? Right? When it asks, what's the source? It's asking, what's the home base? What's the controlling? So, do you want us to move the tables this way? Or do you want to move the bima back that way? Because you all look a little smushed in. So the Gemara asks, shlichut minalan. This is where we started last week. Titania, the Brisa says, v'shila. So if you look at the psukim, turn to the psukim that you have on these sheets. The Torah here in Dvarim, Perek Kaf Dalet, and Parshat Ki Teitzei says, Ki yikach ish isha uvala. When a man and a woman fall in love. I'm reading between the lines. Man and a woman marry. They have relations. She does not find favor in his eyes, but quite the contrary, he finds something repugnant about her. V'katav la sefer kvitut, he writes her a bill of divorce. V'natan biyada, he places it in her hands. V'shilcha mi beito, and he sends her forth from his house. Now, v'shilcha is really the same as saying v'shilach ota. So when our Gemara says vishilach, you read it as vishalach. No, vishilach, meaning it's abbreviating the pasuk. It's even abbreviating. In other words, there are two words here in Hebrew. That's the way it works. There are two words that are residing within one space. Vishilcha is vishilach. Ota, he sends her forth. What could the Torah have written? Hotziota or gireshota, divorced her, kicked her out. Right, so she goes out. She marries somebody else. That other person also vishilcha mibeto, as you see in bold. So
that's a whole different meaning.
What's a different meaning? It's obviously it's not shlichut, but the Gemara says the Gemara first suggests, and we're going to entertain a whole variety of possibilities as to what the source of shlichut is. So number one, the Gemara says we learn it here from. Divorce. Vishilach milamed shehu oseh shaliach. Because it could have said vigiresh. Or it could have said nothing at all. I mean, it could have said he gives her a bill of divorce. And we're all smart enough to know what happens after a divorce. They don't go on living together. Right? Vishilcha milamed shehi oseh shaliach. And the second vishilach, and the second pasuk says that she can make a shaliach. Meaning these two words, which are either unnecessary or redundant or could have been said in a different way, and the fact that they're said in a way that we might not have initially imagined would be the natural way to say it. Those are code words that tell us, vishilcha, tell us that he can make a shaliach and she can make a shaliach. But that, in other words, that's the way drashot work. That, in other words, there's a hidden meaning here that when it comes to divorce, divorce can be executed through shlichut.
Word as it doesn't appear in the Torah.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember seeing them changing a word in the Torah to make a drasha.
But they're not changing a word in the Torah. They're only quoting
The first four letters.
No, vishilcha, as you know.
No, but the Torah. You can't quote. But the second one is the thing because it says vishilcha with a hey. Therefore, it's saying that she did it. Like the whole thing. Like that's not what the second pasuk is meaning.
As I told you, the Gemara is going to entertain a whole variety of possibilities. And you may not be surprised to discover that the first pitch that gets thrown out is not necessarily.
The woman doesn't stand in place here. Either case, there's no agency.
Vishilcha milamed shashaliach oseh shaliach. So, in other words, we learn from this that he can make a shaliach, she can make a shaliach, and the shaliach can make a shaliach. What? Unto 1,000 shlichim. Like the Pony Express. Right? Not a Ponzi scheme, right? There's a machlokus between most Rishonim say that this idea that the shaliach can make a shaliach is that in both directions. In other words, the man sends a get to the wife with a shaliach, but she lives far away. So the shaliach says, well, I'm going to Yerushalayim, so I'll get it to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim, I will send it on with another shaliach who will take it to Beit Shemesh. And from Beit Shemesh, he'll find another shaliach who will take it to Tel Aviv. Right? And what difference does it make? I mean, the letters that you mail. I mean, in the days when mail used to work. I got a letter the other day from Tel Aviv. I got a letter in the mail the other day from Tel Aviv that had been sent over 2 months ago. But in the days when mail used to work, right? How many people touched your letter? Now, again, admittedly, those are shlichim in a lowercase shin. But you don't care whether the guy that picks up the mail when there used to be mailboxes. You can't even mail a letter anymore because there are no more mailboxes to put them in. But in the days when the mailman would come and empty the mailbox, you don't know or care how many fingers touch it from the time it gets from here until the addressee. So the same thing with the shlichut. So most Rishonim say that he can make a shliach to deliver the get, and that shliach can make as many shlichim, shliach to shliach, like the Pony Express. And she can make a shliach to accept the get. Right? Maybe they agreed. He's from Yerushalayim, she's from Tel Aviv. They agree they're going to meet in the middle to deliver in what? Modine. In Modine is a good place to give a get. I don't know. People, I mean, you're happily married. You're from Modine. But I guess somebody once got divorced in Modine. So they're going to meet in the middle. So she can send a shaliach. The question is, can her shaliach make a shaliach?
Why should it be different?
So why should it be different? What do you think?
Does that mean she is not divorced until she actually has it in her hand? Doesn't matter how much shlichim it has.
The divorce happens. This is the meaning of shlucho shel adam kimoto, that a person's shaliach is exactly like him. At the moment that the husband's shaliach delivers it to the wife's shaliach, she becomes divorced.
Right. Gotcha.
Why?
Because his shaliach is, for all intents and purposes, a shaliach with a lowercase shin. Her shaliach is the one who performs the acceptance, which is what changes the status.
And therefore, that shaliach is?
He can't make another shaliach.
That he's on a higher level.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, because the wife's shaliach is in some ways doing an even more important thing by accepting it, even though the wife can be divorced against her will, right? But until it gets to her hands, she's not divorced. No, because that's a technicality in that. That would be the same as if the husband has it and it falls out of his pocket and she picks it up. Right, that's because of the technicalities of how a get has to be delivered. The pasuk says v'natan biyada. There has to be an act of giving. When shaliach gives it to shaliach, how do we fulfill v'natan biyada?
They are shluchim. They are
either. That's the definition of shlucho shel adam kamoto. Right, because if I find a get on the ground, right, and I put it into the wife's hands, I am not the husband, or I'm not in place of the husband putting it into her hands. There's no act of netina from the husband, which is required. Because the husband's shaliach is who? Is the husband for this purpose. So just like the husband can make a shaliach, the husband's shaliach, who for this purpose is the husband, can also make a shaliach. And that person now becomes the extension, the Chazal talk about the shaliach being the long hand of the husband. So again, most Rishonim say, just like the husband can do it, the wife can do it. There is one shita, the opinion of the Tosfot Harid, that says only the husbands, probably for the reason that Tzvi said, that there, the act of accepting the get
creates a
different reality. So the Gemara says, so Ashkechan Begerushin. So, okay, fine. Let's take this brisa for granted, that this is a source for the idea that shlucho shel adam kemoto. Bekidushin minalan. So how do we know that there's shlichut for kiddushin? Just because we've established that shlichut works in divorce, how do you know that it also that carries over to marriage? V'kitomar deyalif megerushin. And when you want to say that we will learn it out from divorce, right? That is, we'll cut and paste the principle from divorce to marriage. Malegerushin shekain yeshnan bal korcha omar kra bal korcha. So I might think that, wait a second, no. I might think that what we learned a minute ago, what we learned, it's the second to last thin line. Hold on. What we learned a minute ago, that shlichut works for divorce, maybe it doesn't work for marriage. Why would it be easier to work for divorce? Because the husband can divorce the wife against her will. So the act of giving it, right? The important thing here is that it gets into her hand. But marriage cannot be affected against her will. And therefore, it's more, I might think, hava amina, I might have thought that therefore it can't be done with a shaliach. It has to be done person to person, because there has to be that face-to-face experience, marriage, to show that she's acceptingly it, willing it from this man.
Except for the fact that he's today, you know, for the fact that women can refuse to be divorced.
Women can be refused to, not minat Torah, right? And as the Rabbanan, we say one of the takanot of Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom made three important takanot 1,000 years ago. Jewish in the history of halacha, 1,000 years is not so long ago, right? Meaning it's 1,000 years after the Mishnah, 1,800 years after the Mishnah, 1,700 years after the Gemara, right? No, 700 years after the Gemara, right? Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't read other people's mail, you can't have more than one wife, you can't, there's no polygamy in Ashkenaz, and you can't divorce a wife against her will. But those are takanot; they're not even dirabanans. They're the takanot which were universally accepted. Certainly in Ashkenaz, amongst Ashkenazim, that you can't divorce, but min ha-Torah, a woman can be divorced against her will, and if she is divorced against her will, like if you get the get into her hand, she is in fact divorced. You've transgressed this position of Rabbeinu Gershom, but she's divorced. So hava amina, what do I mean by this term, hava amina? What's a hava amina? What do the words mean? I would have said, right? A rebuttable presumption, right? A hypothesis which will be proven false, right? But we entertain now as a it's entered into evidence as a possible theory which will be proven false. So I might have thought that kiddushin can't be done with shaliach since it cannot be done against her will. But gerushin, which can be done against her will, requires a lower level of act, right? And therefore, it can be done with a shaliach. We all know that certain things, I mean, given everything we do know, not within the presumptions of our lack of knowledge of the conclusion, we know that there are certain things that cannot be done by a shaliach, right? Mm-hmm. For any variety of technical matters, right? There are certain things that can't be done by shaliach. So the question is, if we identify the source for shlichut in divorce, to where can that be extended? So we want to say the source for, remember, we're trying to figure out how do we know that there's shlichut in marriage. So maybe the source for shlichut in marriage is, ironically, paradoxically, divorce. No, but maybe the two cases are different. Maybe you can't learn from divorce to marriage. So the Gemara says, for the reasons we just explained, so how do you know that it does work? Omar Krokus. There's a pasuk that says V'yatzah v'hayta. The pasuk here, back to the sources. The pasuk here in Dvarim Kav Dalid. She gets married, right? Yatzah mi beita v'halcha v'hayta le'ish acher. She leaves the home of her first husband, and then she goes and becomes v'hoita, the wife of another man. So the Gemara says, makish yitzia lahavaya. By the adjacency of divorce and marriage in the same pasuk, she gets divorced, she gets remarried. So this is what's called a hekesh. And a hekesh is one of the hermeneutical principles through which Chazal learned out different halachot that says we apply the laws of divorce to marriage and vice versa. But there's a certain, you know, like the, what do you call it, the transitive property? Right? If A equals B, B equals A. Is that the transitive property? No, transitive property is if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. But you get the idea. If A equals B, then B equals A. Right? Through the hekesh of marriage and divorce in this pasuk, we say, no, that's the source. That marriage, that divorce can be done by shaliach, kiddushin can be done by shaliach. It's a hekesh in the pasuk.
I'm getting the impression so far that there's been arguments here that we learn the concept of shlichut from this.
Yeah.
I'm leaning more toward the idea that really means is shlichut is a concept which works in this case.
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
The idea of shlichut comes from elsewhere.
Yeah, from divorce.
We see that it works in divorce. And then from the hekesh, we see that it works in marriage.
Well, that's not where the Gemara is going. I'm sorry, I apologize. Remind me again of your name.
Elliot.
I knew that.
I thought you were apologizing.
Elliot says, no, maybe the source is outside. Maybe there's some other source which applies.
It certainly makes more sense to me.
Right.
The idea is that we have a concept of shlichut.
Right. So.
And here's the passage that says, and shlichut works for the world.
So the question is, what is that or source for shlichut? At the moment, we're saying it's divorce, and from divorce, you get to marriage.
From divorce, you get to marriage, but how you get into divorce, it's just the idea that this is the origin of shlichut altogether. Very unsatisfying.
So ma yitziah mishaveh shaliach, just like in yitziah, going out of a marriage, just like in a divorce, you can appoint a shaliach. Af havaya, so to going into a marriage, the creation of marriage, nami mashaveh shaliach, you can appoint a shaliach. The elahad etznan, the haomer l'shlucho, say, wait, but there's a question though. Earlier, the Gemara had said, how do you know that shlichut works in kiddushin? Well, we learn it from divorce, right? What had the Gemara said? In other words, the Gemara had said that we know that shlichut exists in divorce, so therefore we assume that it exists in marriage. And the Gemara immediately asked the question and said, maybe they're apples and oranges. Maybe you cannot learn one from the other, because maybe since kiddushin can't be done against her will, it can't be done with a shaliach. The husband has to do it himself.
Not maybe. It's that since kiddushin can't be done against her will, clearly these are apples and oranges, not the same.
Right. So then the Gemara offers a second proof that the first case is what's called a binyan av, a kind of allegorical structure. Well, we know from the pasuk, Chazal at least, the Braita at least saw in the pasuk, even though Eli has a problem with it, take it up with Chazal. The word v'shilach, v'shilach, v'shilcha, that you also have a problem. The two of you can commiserate afterwards. Right? But the repetition of the word or the root v'shilach in the pasukim about divorce is the source that there's shlichut in divorce. And therefore, if there's shlichut in divorce, there must be shlichut in marriage. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe it's apples and oranges. Maybe marriage has its own set of rules. And because of the requirement that marriage cannot be done against her will, It can't apply. It wouldn't apply here. So then the Gemara says, well, we have another reason to think that you could extrapolate from divorce to marriage. There's a hekesh. The pasuk in Kitetze says, love and marriage, divorce and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage, right? And from that, we say there's an equivalency. And on that, the Gemara could have said what? Oh, wait a second, maybe it's not, maybe it's apples and oranges, because maybe, but the Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara takes that as face value. Why? Why doesn't the Gemara ask the very same question on the Hekesh that it asked on the Binyan Av? Because Hekesh is strong. Binyan Av is a kind of inference, a logical. It's a point of logic. On logic, you can always ask a kasha, right? Because logic, you know, that's what we are. That's what we do. That's what learning Gemara is. You think what you said makes sense? Let me show you 10 reasons why it doesn't. Logic is
arguable.
Always arguable, right? A hekesh is a textual, is a hermeneutical principle. Hermeneutical means it's learned out according to the principles in the way Chazal interpreted text. And if you pull out in what I sometimes call Gemara poker, right? Gemara poker, meaning, you know, I have a hand of cards and you have a hand of cards. If I have a hekesh and you only have a svara, I'm going to win. Pardon the expression. I'm going to trump your hand of cards. So on a hekesh, on a textual proof, it cannot be refuted. So the Gemara now says, yeah, all of these types of textual rule.
I can say same word here, same word there. Must be the same thing.
No.
There's a certain number of places that are known as Gzerah Shavah, I'm probably mispronouncing it, and they don't make them up. They came down from the Moshe LeSinai.
But they didn't. They're not halachah Moshe LeSinai.
What are they?
The principles, Hamidot Shatara Nidreshet Bahen, the principles by which Chazal did this type of textual interpretation, what in English is called this by this fancy word hermeneutics, are the principles are as it were given over by Moshe Mitzrayim, but the applications are done by Chazal. When Chazal succeed in before one of the Chachamim figured out that stated the Hekesh, right? I mean the halakha that it uncovers existed, right? But it wasn't known. Now there can be a machloket, and there often are machlokot over. You say this is a hekesh, and I say it's not a hekesh.
Exactly.
I say no, you're misreading it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to decide who wins, like any other machloket, right? That's a machloket, and how is this or is it not a legitimate use of one of the principles? Right? But you know the 13, like we say in the davening at the end of Birchas Hashachar, the Rabbi, we're supposed to say. but it's worth reading them. Those are the third. That's one. That's one.
Is hekesh there?
No. But in other words, it's not an exhaustive list. Hmm. There are different braitiot, meaning Tanaitic sources, that list different hermeneutical principles. So that one, the most famous one, because it was made part of the davening, lists 13 hermeneutical principles. Hmm. If you have like the Art Scroll Siddur or the Koran Siddur, there's a very good little introduction to what this whole thing is. Like, what are these principles and how do they work and et cetera. It's worth reading something. It's worth reading something. Like, if you're ever bored in shul, and you don't have Torah tidbits to read or something, or you got there early, or you stayed late, or the chazan was going very long, right? Or there's no Torah tidbits to read that week. So it's worth reading because you'll understand more. But there are other braitiot. There's the braita of the, I think, the Membet Drachim, the 42. They're different braitiot of these different rules and how they work. So now the Gemara says, okay, so we've figured out. There's shlichut in Gerushin and there's shlichut in Kiddushin, but what about the rest of the Torah? Like, what about the rest of the halakhot? Right. So, what are the sources for the rest of the Torah And maybe there's a what would you call it? An earlier source, meaning maybe Eliot is right, that we're assuming that we learn from divorce to marriage. But maybe there's a bigger principle that becomes the umbrella under which we can group everything else. Because wouldn't it be nice to not learn about marriage from divorce? What's that? What's that line about second marriages? Who is it that said it? Of hope over experience. Yeah, but who said that? I was going to say Oscar Wilde, but I don't think So the second marriage is a proof of the victory of hope over experience. So there are things you learn about or don't. So Ha'omer the Shlucho, Titznan. Ve'ela haditznan, and however, it says Ha'omer l'shlucho, say trom. You've got a pile of grain, and you have to take trumot u'masrot. So you say to your shliach, go and take trumot u'masrot for me. Torem kedat bal habayit. So how much truma are you supposed to take? Now, every now and then we bump up to the sugyot of trumot u'masrot. I want to remind everybody, it's a great thing to take trumot u'masrot. Every now and then I give a little seminar on how to take trumot u'masrot because it happened. Well, we just had Shemitah, so there wasn't so much trumot u'masrot going on. And some of you, I think, are joining us from outside of Israel, and you don't know about this. But there's Cecil. Cecil, I bet you know all about trumot u'masrot because you've had an agricultural history. Cecil here is from Kibbutz Keturah. The people that are growing the oldest dates in the world, you know, the Metushalach date tree. You know, they found this ancient, where was it from? Masada, right? Yeah, they found these date pits on Masada and they germinated them, and there's these trees growing and giving these dates down in the Arava. And these are very dated dates. So you have to know about taking Trumos and Masros, right? It's a great schut that we can take truma to masrut. So, but you say you should give. So, how much truma are you supposed to give when you give truma? Maaser is how much? 10%. That's okay. That's a gimme, because it says right in the word maaser eser 10%. But how much truma are you supposed to give to the kohen? Well, ain't sure, right? Elu dvarim she'en I'm sure, right? There is no minimum requirement. One kernel, you have a big pile of wheat berries, right? One kernel is enough, technically speaking, to be yotzei yedei chova. However, you're correct, Achri, that Chazal said no. There are three measurements, right? If you're a little stingy, you give 1/60. You give 1/60. If you're very generous, you give 1/40. And if you're Benoni, a regular guy in the middle, you give 1/50, 2%. Right?
Interesting that depending on which one you pick, you're affecting
what the Levy's going to get. Correct. Because the Levy gets 10% of what's left over. Correct. 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 Maybe you're a Levy and you're in it to. Ha'omer l'shlucho tseitro. You tell your shliach, go take Trumas Masses, but you do not tell him how much you want to give, right? You know, it's like you say to somebody, like there's a, you know, guy comes around at the end of shul collecting tzedakah, and you didn't bring your wallet to shul that day. That used to be a very convenient excuse. That used to be a very convenient excuse not to get tzedakah, but today they take Bit and they take PayPal and you can swipe your telephone, and they're very sophisticated, the tzedakah collectors, right? You know, he'll help you set up a horat keva, you know. So you say, you give him something for me, right? Now, meaning give him something I'm going to pay you back, right? But I didn't tell you how much to give. So you're in a generous mood. You're going to give him 100 shekel, and now I'm on the hook for 100 shekel. So the shaliach, in the absence of any instruction, toreim kedat bal habayit. the shaliach should give according to his estimate of the habits of the balabayit. You know, maybe the shaliach knows what the balabayit is accustomed to giving. Ve'im eino yodea, and if he doesn't know how much the balabayit wanted to give, ve'eino yodea that balabayit toreim beveinonit. So in the absence of any instruction, he should give the middle measure, 1/50th, 2%. Echad mi-chamishi. Ding, turn the page, 41b. Pichet asera, o hosif asera, but if he erred, meaning let's say the guy wanted to give benonit, but the shaliach was feeling generous or presumed that the balabayit was generous and he gave the extra 10%. Or hosif asera, right? And there's a machlok between Rashi and Tosfot, which one is hosif and which one is pichet. And as you realize, if he adds to the balabayit, if he adds 10% from what the balabayit wanted to give, right, he diminishes the balabayit's assets, but he increases the kohen's assets. So is it pichet la balabayit v'hosif la kohen or pichet la kohen? But it doesn't matter. Either way, it comes out the same. It doesn't, it's a difference between Rashi and Tosfot. I've had to read it, but it doesn't make a difference. Lamaase. 2 plus 5 is 7, and 5 plus 2 is 7. It's simple.
Commutativity.
Yes. So truma to truma. So if he makes an error, the truma is truma, right? It works, meaning it's still effective because the balabayit should have specified, right? So minalan. What is the source that this works? Meaning, in this episode that we just witnessed, what's happening? Shluchos shel adam kimoto. So much so, not only is he the agent to deliver the truma, to separate and deliver the truma, he's the agent to decide and determine the amount. I gave my kid, you know, like the kids are always asking for money. Kids are still the only ones that still use cash, little kids. Because they don't have phones, and they don't have Bit, and they don't have Apple Pay. So my kid wanted to go up to the candy store, you know, to get something, you know, bag of popcorn or something. You know, they have this Haredi popcorn in the candy store. Yeah, it's only 3 shekels for a big bag of popcorn. It's good. The price went up. The price went up, but it's good and greasy popcorn. So I gave her, I don't remember, I gave her 20 shekels. So she comes home. I said, where's it? Because I didn't have exactly 3 shekel or 4 shekel. So I said, where's the change? She said, there was no change. I said, well, what do you mean? So I said, explain to me how there's no change. I should at least get a math lesson out of it. She says, no, there was an aniya. There was a, you know, a poor person on Friday collecting tzedakah. So that's a lot of tzedakah.
She wanted to be a zaki.
So she wanted to be, she wanted to help me do the mitzvah.
She knows how to do that.
On one hand, you're proud, right? On the other hand, so the Gemara says, "Minalan." So how do we know that this is the? What is the source that this that there is such a shlichut? V'chitema de'yalif megerushin. So if you want to say that the source for the idea of a shaliach for truma is the same source, the same ur source that we had earlier for gerushin. Malagerushin shekein yeshnan chol, amarkra atem gamatem. No. Maybe we can't learn it from gerushin, because gerushin, believe it or not, gerushin, divorce is inyanei chol.
Right.
Meaning there's no change. It's a secular. It's funny to use the word in this way. It is a non-sanctified ritual event, meaning there is no change. There's a change in marital status from married to divorced, but there's no change in level of kiddusha. You know, forget, even if you did make a bracha, but not everything you make a bracha on changes the level of kiddusha, right? So maybe we allow shlichut when it comes to divorce, but we don't allow shlichut when it comes to truma, because truma takes a pile of tevil, of unsanctified wheat or produce, and it transforms it into sanctified truma. And you know, truma is very holy. It's so holy that the Kohen has to be tahor when he eats it. And it's so holy that if somebody eats it who's not allowed to eat it, like meaning somebody who's not a Kohen, he's chayv mita. He gets a death penalty. Well, that's a lot of holiness. So maybe for generating holiness like that, for my property, I have to do it myself. I can't outsource it to a shaliach. So the Pasuk says, how do you know that you can make a shaliach for truma? And that's a havamina. That's it. What was the phrase you said for havamina? A rebuttable presumption. Right?
Yeah, that you can't. We know that the shlichut exists.
How do you know that? How do you know? Minus the Mishnah, right? How do you know that that shlichut exists for truma? You don't. No, Beseder, but before the Tnan, right?
What is the Tnan based on?
Well, it's a Mishnah.
Okay, but what is
that? But that's what the Gemara is asking.
That's the question. What is the Tnan based on? Okay, so we know the Tnan. What's their source?
Exactly. The Mishnah is asking, the Gemara is asking, the Mishnah obviously presumes that you can tell a shaliach to take truma. Right. I mean, it doesn't presume it. The Mishnah says it explicitly. Ha'omer l'shlucho tsei utrom. Right? That's the Mishnah. You have it right there on the sheet. Right? So the Gemara is asking, how does the Mishnah know that? What is the Mishnah's source that shlichut works for truma? So the Gemara says it's this posuk. It's this posuk here at the end of Parshat Korach. Bamidbar Perik Yod Chet. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Limor. Ve'el halavim tedaber v'amart alehem ki tikchu me'et b'nei Yisrael et ha-ma'aser asher natati lochem me'itam. When the levim take the ma'aser, right? In other words, the farmer comes along, he gives them, here's a lever, right? You get the ma'aser. Used to be a coin, now you're a lady. So it's, on one hand, it's not you got gypped. On the other hand, you get more. Except you have to share it with more people because they're more levim than kohanim. Is now is the time to tell the story? No, but I always mention that, you know, we have this curious thing in our community. David used to be a Kohen, he became a Levi. I used to be a Levi and discovered I'm a Yisrael. And Corey Beinhacker, everything works out for him. He used to be Israel, he discovered he's a Kohen. He got upgraded. You went from first class to at least you're still in business class. I with the plebes back in economy, right? And somebody is putting the seat in front of me all the way down. And Corey, he got the upgrade to first class. So the Levi gets the ma'aser. He gets 10% of the crop. When he gets the ma'aser, what does he have to do? He has to give truma from his ma'aser. He has to kick up something upstairs also. Also, his truma has to go up to the Kohen. Again, midrabanan, we follow the same procedure, right? That is called trumat ma'aser. The truma, which is given from within the ma'aser that belongs to the Levi. And the Pasuk says, Kain tarimu gam atem trumat Hashem. So too, you should also give truma from what you receive, mikol masotechem hasher tichu me'et bnei Yisrael, natata mimenu et trumat Hashem la'aron ha'kohen. So our Gemara says, what's the source? If you didn't like the other one, Elliot, you're not going to like this one. What's our source for shlichut and truma? This pasuk, gam atem. The pasuk didn't need to say gam atem. You should also give truma. You should also give. What does it mean, gam atem? You don't need the gam. You don't need the whole thing, right? Give truma. Give truma from the maaseh that you got. The gam atem is a ribui.
It's inclusion.
Well, it expands, right? It expands the principle. Beyond you having to give truma, you can also give truma from through a shliach. Gamatem lerabot et hashliach, to include the fact that you can do it through a shliach. Okay, so maybe that's the source for shlichut. That's the biblical source for shlichut, right? So b'seder, so the Gemara says v'nichtov rachmana b'truma. So let the Torah state explicitly that give truma, either you give truma, or have your shaliach give truma, and then that will become the home base for the idea of shlichut, and from there we'll extrapolate to the rest of the Torah. Right, v'neto tenach, right, v'nigmaru mina. And then we'll bring all the other cases, marriage and divorce and truma and all the other things that we're going to come to, and we'll learn it from there. V'nigmaru mina, and we will learn it out from truma. Why? So why doesn't the Gemara do that? As you want to say, the problem would be in the opposite. So yefet, I see you learned ahead. The Gemara says mishum de'ikale mifrach. Why isn't truma the home base? You understand what I mean by home base? Yeah, the prototype. Very good. Why isn't truma the prototype to learn actually hook from everyone else? Because nitan lemifrach mishum de'ikale mifrach. It could be. How would you translate the Mifrach? Shlugged up, right?
That's a good translation.
It's a translation to Yiddish, right? It can be shlugged up. It can be contradicted, right? Shekein yeshna b'machshava, because truma can be done through mere mental thought process. It's a machlokas, but let's say without any ma'aseh, without any act. And therefore, I might have thought that, I'll explain in a second. So therefore, I might say, no, that's the home base, that's the prototype for shlichut, but then we're going to have to limit shlichut only to things that can be done through thought. Or we might think, if that's the prototype of shlichut, right, then the acts that can be done with shlichut can also be done through thought. Could you imagine, I'm thinking her to be my wife? I'm thinking her to be divorced? So what is it, first of all, what does it mean? By the way, this is not advised to do true. No, I mean, it can't be done with marriage and divorce. But the Rambam says, if you don't have this on the sheets, hifrish truma b'machshavto velo hotzi b'svatav. You separate the truma, the tithe, in your head. You have this pile of what do you have in your backyard? Chesek. No.
Oranges.
Little oranges. Are those kumquats?
Yes,
little oranges. So a big pile of little oranges, right? And you have to take truma to Masrut. So you think the oranges on this side, on the north side, those are truma. You're allowed to start eating from the ones on the south side. You can't eat them all, obviously, because there's truma there. Right? So the Rambam says, Ifrish truma b'machshavto, you separate it mentally. Velo hotzi b'svatav, and you didn't make any oral declaration the way you're supposed to. You know, you should have that. Everybody should have in their house. Well, now we all have it on our phones, but you have that little pamphlet that explains how to do truma to masrot, and it's complicated. Pidyon maser sheni and all this other stuff. Maserani in the years of maserani, etc. So you should do it the way you're supposed to do it. But b'di'evet, if you did it this way, trumato truma, even if you didn't say anything. Klum, you didn't say a word. Harezet truma. Shne emar, what's the source? This you do have on the page. Bamidbar Yudchet, Posek Kav Zayin. Vin Nach Shav Lachem Trumatchem. That's the source. The pasuk literally means after you separate it, it will be considered for you truma. But from the presence of that word, chetshin bet, think, machshava, that's the source that you're allowed to separate, that separating truma mentally has effect. Shenemar v'nachshav lachem trumatchem kedagan min hagoren u'machshava bilvad tiyeh truma. So that's the Rambam. There's a machlokus. There's a machlokus. There are those that say that that what does it mean? You can do it by machshava. So Rashi says machshava means speech, meaning you're unable to separate. And when we take truma to maaser, we physically separate the produce. Here's the truma. Here's the maaser. And from the maaser, we take out the trumat maaser. Right, what we do with the maaser today, we don't generally give it to a levi for reasons we can explain when we learn Hilchot Truma de Maasot. We redeem the maaser sheni, the second tithe, right? Whether it goes to the poor people in the third and sixth year, or whether in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, it's maaser sheni that we're supposed to take and eat in the Beit HaMikdash, or in Yerushalayim and the Chagim, and we redeem its value. Monetarily, right? So you're supposed to physically move things around. So Rashi says, what does it mean to do it by machshava? It means you do it by speech, even if you don't do any. Meaning you don't do any physical act, but you do a speech act.
Why would you forget? You always had words for speech and action and thought. Why would the Gemara even say thought? And we need Rashi to tell us what it means
no.
speech. So just speech.
Because, first of all, thought and speech are very much connected.
And if they're not physical acts.
Neither of them are physical acts. Mm-hmm. So it could be Rashi's reading is that, look, it probably could mean that Rashi just couldn't imagine this idea that thought alone accomplishes everything.
Why
do they use the word machshava?
Yeah.
Because the pasuk that they use to identify it uses that word, and according to the opinion in the Rishonim, that it means you say it but you don't do it, right? So then the nickname becomes machshava because that's the lashon hamikra, that's the word that's used in the pasuk. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam agree with you that no halacha, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say, you don't have to. There's a third opinion, a more minority opinion, that it's the opposite. What does it mean by machshava? You don't have to say all those words, right? You move things aside. You move aside the truma, you move aside the maaser. Yeah. You think in your head, but you don't call the names on them, right? And that's. But the mainstream opinion is like the Rambam, the halacha opinion is like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, that you can think it in your head. You can say, you can be thinking, you're hearing my inner monologue right now, like in the movies, right? That stuff on the northern side, that's my truma. And then you can start eating as long as you're leaving over enough, right? In other words, it's obviously a bidyeved situation where you're, for whatever reason, you're unable to properly separate truma to masrot. And but you have to start eating. You want to start eating. Well, that it, with liquid, it becomes the perhaps the you know the other way to do it. Yeah, I'm saying this. There's a whole types of complicated things. But for our purposes, this is so. So I might have thought that no. Truma, because truma can be done b'machshava only through thought processes. It's in a category all to itself. Obviously, marriage divorce can't be done that way. So therefore, yes. That might be a source for shlichut, but it would not be one that would allow us to learn out to gittin and kiddushin. Right? So there's another possibility. We're going to start this, but we're not going to be able to finish it. But it is, of course, baruch shekivanta, right? Korban Pesach. You said Korban Pesach, right? Va'amru le'echad. Right, you say to one of the members of your chabura. Now you know for the Korban Pesach, the Paschal sacrifice. What did I skip? Oh, chabura shevad pischa. Right, a chabura, a group of people that together are making Pesach. Right? It's your turn to make the Seder this year. So most people couldn't eat a whole lamb. Little lamb. Although I could, I think. I like lamb. Good lamb chop. I like a lamb. So you'd make a chabura. You'd make a group, an incorporated entity that are partners on this lamb. Because, you know, there's a problem. You can't, on Pesach, you can't have any leftovers. Right? You have to finish the whole thing. So, you know, like sometimes, you know, my wife does this. She'll make too much food. Your wife does this all the time. Right? Why? Because she's planning on the leftovers. She's not just making chicken soup for Friday night. She's also simultaneously making leftovers for Monday night. Can't do that with Korban Pesach. So you calculate, everybody has to have a kazayat of meat from the Korban. You figure this goat looks like it's got about 15 kazetim, 15 portions in it. You get together a group of 15 people that become partners in this, I said goat, I meant lamb, in this, it could be goat, in this Korban. But what happens if the lamb flees the coop? Right? We're all partnered on that lamb. So Pesach She'avad, the Korban Pesach that gets away. Right? V'omer le'echad, se'u v'kesh. So you tell one of the guys, go out, look for it, shchot aleinu, and sacrifice and slaughter it on our behalf. V'halachu matzav v'shachat. And he goes and he finds it and he slaughters it, having in mind the other 14 guys left behind. Because
the original, or is possibly talking about
the original? No. The original is hide and go seek. He's going to look for the goat. As you know from having read ahead in the Gemara, that's exactly where the Mishnah is going. The Hain Lachu V'Shachtu, and they give up on him. They don't know whether he's going to find it or not. So what do they give in? And they go and they buy another goat and they slaughter that replacement goat. So now there are two goats at play. Im Shalom Nishchat Rishon. If he had found the missing goat first, the missing lamb first, and slaughtered it, Hu Ochel Mishalo, Vehem Ochlim V'Shotin Imo, and that's the real Korban Pesach. Right? The Gra gets rid of this word shotim. Shotim doesn't have anything to do with this. Minalan. Right? So this is the source that what? That Shaliach has a Korban Pesach. So Minalan. So how do we know? Like, what's the source? What's the source that allows you to do Korban Pesach through a Shaliach? V'chitema de'yolif mihach. Malahoch sheken yeshnan chol etzel kodshim. Nafgalei. Mid the Rebbe Yoshua ben Korcha. So wait a second. So if this is the case, that the source for Shlichut is Korban Pesach, right? And we're going to learn out from here to everything else. There's a problem, right? Shekein Yeshnan Chol Eitzel Kodshim. Korban Pesach is really Kadosh. It's even more Kadosh. Shchitat Kadshim, the slaughtering of sacrifices, is even more kadosh than Truma, right? So maybe we'll say, okay, the prototype, the home base for Shlichut is Korban Pesach, but it only applies to such holy things, right? And apples and oranges, and we can't extrapolate. So the Gemara says, where do we learn it out from? Nafkala, we learn it out from the statement of Yehoshua ben Karcha, the Omer of Yehoshua ben Karcha, Minayin, Shishlucho shel Adam Kemoto. How do we know that a person's shaliach is just like him? Shneamar b'shachtu oto kol kaladat Yisrael ben ha'arbayim, that they would sacrifice it from. This is Korban Pesach again. We read this when? When did we read this? 3 days ago. This is Parshas Bo. What? What is it? All korbanot are done through shlichin. Maybe that's the ur text. Anyway, we'll pause here mid sentence. We'll continue next week. Hello to everyone online.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Sharon.
Cheerio. Thank you.